Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part 4 in a multi-part series entitled Epiphany, and today's specific message is entitled Backwards Blessings, based on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Let us dive into the Word today. When they came down the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. God, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets." Amen. We live in a society and culture that values prosperity. We love God's blessings and pray for God to bless us, right? To bless our families, to bless our jobs, to bless our churches, and to bless our country, right? We think we are owed these blessings, that we deserve them, because we feel that we have earned them, that we have accrued some sort of cosmic merit to warrant God's blessings and prosperity to shower upon us. Karma, baby, right? Karma. At the national level, we see ourselves as the greatest nation, the greatest country to have ever existed. And I'll speak for my country, America. If you're from a different country, perhaps you have a similar sentiment. Nationalism. We're the best ever. In my country's terms nowadays, America first, right? God bless America. We see ourselves as a city shining on a hill for the world to see. A beacon of hope and freedom, shimmering from sea to shining sea. At the church level, we take our name from Christ, who is the living embodiment of God. We see ourselves as living examples of the hope of eternal salvation, as the moral example of how people ought to live. And when people don't show up to churches, we lament what happened to the days when people looked to the church for their salvation, when people looked to the church for their hope, when people looked to their church for the way that they ought to be and ought to live. Where did those days go? At the family level, we pride ourselves in putting our families first. And we see our family structure, for the most part, as the ideal for families around the world. in America and much of the Western world, we have nuclear families, right? And the nuclear family model is the way it ought to be. It's the best family model, according to us. And we love our children, don't we? They're just the best ever, right? At the personal level, we're good people, aren't we? I mean, in terms of our jobs, we work hard, we earn our keep, and anyone who's too lazy to work doesn't deserve to be entitled to help because they should be picking themselves up from their own bootstraps, right? By their own bootstraps. We're good people, aren't we? We don't murder, we don't steal, we don't hurt others intentionally. At least not that bad. We're good people. We may not be perfect, but we're inherently good, right? Surely we are deserving of blessings. Surely if karma were going to unfavor anybody, it wouldn't unfavor us overall. We're deserving of blessings, not curses. We aren't perfect, but we aren't that bad either. Are we? And of course, we base our assessment on the basis of merit. We talk about creating a merit-based system for allowing people into our country. Well, if they've got skills and they come from a place that seems to be more affluent and they're not going to be a drain on our society, we should let them in. If not, we shouldn't. Of course, we may be missing the potential merit someone might have if we let them in, but we look for merit, don't we? We talk about church membership in terms of merit, in terms of who's the most able to contribute, right? Now, you may be thinking, well, we don't do that. We don't bring in members based off of what they can or can't give. Well, that may be true to some extent. But if someone gives a lot, they're less likely to be challenged or accountable, aren't they? Because we don't want to lose their paycheck. In fact, I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, don't forget, I leave a big paycheck in the offering plate. But if someone doesn't have a lot, or they don't give as consistently as the other, it doesn't really matter if they stay or leave, does it? You see how that happens? No, we don't accept members in based off of whether they'll give or not. We want members, of course. We let members in freely. But it does matter how much they give when it comes to how we treat people. If someone gives a lot of money but are doing things they ought not to be doing, we're less likely to confront them on it, aren't we? Let's be honest. Jobs are absolutely merit-based. And families, they're a little trickier, right? But there is merit-based into family systems too. For instance, the most loyal family members are the least ostracized. The most loyal are the ones that are likely to be higher on the will, right? They're the ones that are most likely to get the will and maybe even have authority over executing the will, being the executor. And executing the will of the person who died, etc. Our culture and society worships merit. We thrive on a meritocracy. And we judge people's worth based off of the merit produced in their lives. Think about it. This is what makes Jesus' teachings and actions so very difficult for us to grasp, let alone follow. It's easy for us to see how others, aside from us, may be based in merit, right? It's easy for people who hate the church to look at the church and say, look at those hypocrites. It's easy for those who are resisting government because they don't like the current president or whatever the case may be. It's easy for them to see the woes on the other side. But take a look in the mirror. Are any of us free of this charge? This is what makes Jesus' teachings and actions so very difficult for us to grasp, let alone follow. In his parable on the workers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, Jesus tells the story of a vineyard owner, right? And let's say a good farmer starts at like 6 in the morning, and at 6 in the morning there are workers who are out on the curb, and the owner tells his manager, go and hire those workers out on the curb and tell them I'll pay them 10 talents. I'm making a number in my head. 10 talents for the day to work the fields. And so they go out and they get told that, and they happily come to earn their 10 talents. And then let's say the owner sees more workers standing there at 8 o'clock, and he says to the manager, go and tell the workers who are out in the corner looking for a job, tell them that, you know, if they come, I'll pay them 10 talents to work the day. And the same thing happens at 12 o'clock. The same thing happens at 2 p.m. The same thing happens at 3 p.m. The same thing happens at 5 p.m. And finally, at 6 p.m., 12 hours later, the workers are done in the field, and they come to collect their pay, and the owner gives each of them 10 talents. And the ones who had been there from 6 a.m. or perhaps 8 a.m. or maybe even 12 p.m., those guys are up in arms. How could you pay the guy that came at 5 p.m. the same amount as you paid me? I've been working here all day. Yet, the owner says, what's it to you? I told you I'd pay you 10 talents, and I have paid you 10 talents. If I want to pay a guy 10 talents for doing less the work, isn't that my call? Isn't that my money to give as I wish? I've been fair to you. I gave what I told you you'd get. The actions of the vineyard's owner is counter to any sort of meritocracy, isn't it? For the ones who worked the least got paid the same amount as those who worked the most. In today's scripture, we see Jesus giving blessings. But if we paid close attention to them, they probably feel like backwards blessings compared to what we're used to, compared to what we look for, compared to what we expect. Blessed are the poor, the undesirables. Blessed are the hungry now, the famished. Blessed are those who are grieving now. Blessed are those who are hated and outcast because they follow Jesus over and against societal and religious norms. For didn't the prophets get persecuted for doing the same thing? Then Jesus says to those who believe they have the merit that deserves God's blessings, woe to you rich, to you who are full, to you who are fat, to you who are prosperous, to you who are privileged, not to have to grieve. To you who are praised. This all, I am sure, seems very backwards. And by the way, when Jesus talks about fat, he's not talking about people who are overweight or struggle with weight problems, such as myself, and I do, and I've been very open about that. He's talking about people who are fat off the land, right? People who have it all and aren't struggling. Who are gluttonous, who are greedy for more when they have everything they could ever want, just to be clear. But this all, I am sure, seems very backwards. But it is not. Rather, it is another epiphany of the nature of Christ's mission. These backwards blessings and woes are the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need humility to see how this is good news. The sin of meritocracy is that it betrays a poverty that we're too proud to see. It blinds us from recognizing that we are all impoverished one way or the other, that we are all famished, starved of love, that we are all grieving the loss of our innocence, that we are all ultimately rejected at some point because none of us live up to others' expectations. The good news is that God's blessings are upon us, if we would only humble ourselves and see the sinners that we are. You see, the woes that Jesus talks about, the curses, they're not curses because God is cursing them. They're curses because those people, the prosperous, the rich, the fat, the so-called gluttonous people, right? The people who are greedy for more when they have everything. Those who are praised all the time for being just awesome because they fit into everybody else's expectations. Those people are cursing themselves because they're too proud to see their need for God. That's where the curses come in. The good news is that God's blessings are upon us. If we would only humble ourselves and see the sinners that we are, then in that moment, we will see how truly blessed we are. Because it is then that we will recognize that God has loved us and saves us. God saved us. In spite of our sin, in spite of ourselves, no one deserves grace. By definition, grace is undeserved. It is simply given to us by God, undeserved, unearned. Let us humble ourselves and give to others. So let us humble ourselves and give to others God's backwards, meritless, unearned, undeserved blessings. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this challenging message, and we ask that you continually challenge us and hold us accountable to this, because we are called to be your people, and we are called to be grace-filled and grace-giving. Fill us with your grace so that it may outpour from us into the lives of those who desperately need it in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I would like to thank you for tuning in today and listening to this message. Again, it's part 4 of the multi-part series Epiphany entitled Backwards Blessings, based on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. And I would invite you back to tune in next week for the next part 5 of this series called Epiphany. Each way we are looking at the Epiphanies, that God is giving us on God's nature and on the nature of Jesus Christ's mission. So also I'd like to invite you to check out the message notes, where you'll find links to this particular podcast's website. You'll find links to the Life-Giving Water devotional website and the Party on John Cast website, which is the podcast that Sal Sermarco, Presbyterian minister, and I opine on all things theology, coffee, other beverages, and of course we opine on theology and music, the best music of them all, actually. So tune into those things. But in the meantime, friends, remember, you are richly blessed, not to hoard those blessings, but so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.